Readers Entertainment Radio presents Book Lights with your host, author Lisa Kessler. Book Lights, where we're shining a light on good books.
Hi, everyone. It's October. It's my time of year. So anyway, welcome to our first October show of 2019. And usually during this month, I have people who write paranormal, horror, fantasy, sci-fi. You know, we get way out there because it's October and we all want to get spooky, right? So we're kicking off the month with author V.S. Holmes. She writes a lot of sci-fi and epic fantasy. You're going to love meeting her. If you haven't read V.S. Holmes yet, I will read her bio for you. And I did put a link to her website right there on the Blog Talk site. So if you're listening live or later, click that and you can go check out her website. And she also has some free reads on there for you, too, so you can try before you buy. So definitely check her out. So here's her bio. V.S. Holmes is an international best-selling author. She created the Reforged series and the Nell Bentley books. Smoke and Rain, the first book in her fantasy quartet, won the New Apple Literary's Excellence in Excellence in Independent Publishing Award in 2015. In addition, she has published short fiction in several anthologies. When not writing, she works as a contract archaeologist. Oh my gosh, we're going to ask about that. Doing throughout the northeastern U.S., she lives in a tiny house with her spouse, a fellow archaeologist, and their not-so-tiny dog. They own way too many books for such a small abode, and as a disabled queer human, she works as an advocate and educator for representation in sci-fi fantasy worlds. Again, check out her website, and without any further ado, are you there, V?
I am.
Yay! And you are all the way over on the other side of the country from me. You're getting fall colors, right? It's fall there?
I am. Yeah, it's quite beautiful. I mean, it's raining right now, but the past few days have just been stunning. We're very lucky to live where we live.
Yeah. You won't say that, though, when you're packed in with snow, right?
No. We usually get close to 5 feet, and that's more than plenty. So, yeah.
Yeah, so for a couple months, you're like, why do we live here?
Yes, yeah.
So you have a new box set out with a few other authors, right, called Dark Horizons that just came out?
Yes, it came out September 17th, and I've just been having so much fun with it. At first, it was just sort of a fun way to network and meet some other sci-fi authors, but as we got together and as I was looking at the different books that were submitted, I realized there was this theme of finding hope and community in a dark place. And that's something that I think is really important, especially right now where,
yes.
our country and the world where we're at. So that's sort of the theme that came out very organically. And the books in it, I mean, hopefully mine too, but definitely the other books in it are just so incredible and so hopeful. And I mean, of course, it's dark, Dark Horizons after all, but there's definitely some really beautiful themes.
I love that. And I write paranormal romance, which tends to be on the darker side, lots of death and things.
Mm-hmm.
But the cool thing is that you can really shine a light through it all. And because my books are romance, you have to have a happy ending. So through it all, you know, at some point, they're going to find their tribe and they're going to have that happy ending. And I think it's more powerful when it's set in a dark setting, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. And I think people can, you know, because to varying degrees, we all have a dark setting, at some point in our lives. And I think it's really easy to relate to characters who are struggling with things, even if it's, you know, a little bit more magical than our real world.
Right.
Problems.
So. Yeah, maybe sometimes that's a nice escape.
Yes. Yeah.
It's nice to see somebody who has the problem of the world will explode if you don't find this special talisman, as opposed to how am I going to make rent this month?
Right? Which does feel like your world's going to explode. But
it does, yes. And your book in Dark Horizons is The Travelers, right? That's a sci-fi?
Yes. So Travelers is the first full-length book in my Nell Bentley series. And that's sort of the Lesbian Archaeologist in Space series. So that has
nice.
There's definitely some dark things, but we're getting to the hopeful part.
So that one, how much of her is you?
She's actually the character who's probably the closest to me in the most obvious ways, I guess. I'd like to think I've learned to control my temper a bit better than she has, which is part of her story arc. When my dad first read it, he had this comment. He says, you know, it's a good book. I don't really like her very much. I'm like, ouch.
Oh,
but of course, no, I'm probably sweeter to him than I am to the average human that I encounter. And Nell's kind of my way of getting my snarky retorts out. Without, you know, risking my job or professional contacts.
Right. And, you know, in fiction, when you write, you can really think for a while and come up with the perfect comeback line and stuff like that, or at least I find that. And in real life, I never do. I always come up with it, like, the next day. I'm like, really? Why couldn't I thought to say that yesterday? Do you have that same thing, or are you quick on your feet?
I am quick on my feet, though sometimes it probably would be best if I wasn't. I can get very candid, and especially, you know, working in a highly charged political environment, which, you know, that's what archaeology is. There's a lot of moving parts. You know, it can
right.
it can be better to keep your thoughts to yourself sometimes, but I like to think when I do have a good retort, you know, it's, you know, I can think of it on the spot.
Oh, you're so lucky. They never come to me in the moment. But it's fun when you write because you can really give it some thought. And then your character looks really
sure.
smooth.
Yeah. In middle school, I'm sure I could have used a little bit more thinking on my feet. But that's been a development that I've worked on. So.
So, sci-fi isn't all that you write. You also write epic fantasy, and we were talking before the show about Smoke and Rain. It just became an international bestseller, right?
Yeah, it topped the fantasy charts in Australia, the UK, and Canada, which just, like, I started crying as soon as I saw the rankings. Because it's the first book that I wrote in a professional, serious way, and it's sort of been with me through a lot of my formative years, and seeing that was just like, oh my God, people see it, you know, and it was just one of the most incredible feelings for sure.
Yeah, that's very cool. And Smoke and Rain is part of a series, right?
Yeah, it's the first book in the Reforged Quartet, and the last book in this specific quartet comes out at the end of April of 2020, which is, like, terrifying, trying to wrap up all the loose ends. make sure
right.
I spelled everyone's name right the same way. But it's also, it's been fun, too, because I'm definitely going to go back to this world. I have two other quartets planned, one of which takes place 200 years before Reforged, and the next that takes place
okay.
about 50 years after. So I do get to go back and revisit maybe a few of the characters who I haven't managed to kill off yet. So.
Is that part of what draws you to writing fantasy and sci-fi, is that you can just skip around in the timeline?
A little bit, yeah. I think, too, it's a lot easier to write something that's impacting readers when they're not necessarily expecting it to, which sounds kind of mean. But I think, especially growing up reading sci-fi and fantasy, when you see a character solving these problems and it's, you know, in a magical world or in, you know, space or something, it gets into your head on sort of a subconscious level in a way that I personally haven't experienced, you know, a lot more just contemporary fiction or nonfiction, you know,
right.
getting into my head. And I think it's easier for me and for a lot of readers who read those genres to sort of see themselves organically develop in
mm-hmm.
in the plot or in the book. And I don't know, I think it can be much more powerful when you're not expecting it.
Right. Well, I think, too, when you're dealing with out of our current reality, I think also you can really see the hero's journey, if that makes sense. You're
mm-hmm.
not distracted
yeah.
by, you know, current events that are happening because you're in a whole different world. Like you think about Star Wars and people are like, oh, Luke is the hope. And, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you can really feel that because it's not happening in Chicago, you know, or
yeah,
somewhere on
exactly.
the map.
And if you're reading, too, about, you know, a character who might have a background or experiences that differ from your own, when it is set in this world, you can sort of easily fall back on the, like, oh, well, this is just sort of a political message. And when
right.
it's hidden or embedded in a world that you don't recognize as easily, I think those stories can touch you in a different way and kind of open you up to new ideas.
I totally agree. So when you, I always ask people, you know, what was your writing journey like? When did you decide to go from a reader to an author? When, you know, how did it all happen for you?
I mean, I've been writing stories since I could write, you know, maybe not very, very good ones. I found
we
recently
have to practice.
Like the first... Right, exactly. Yeah, it's definitely a journey. I found my first ever book that I wrote, which was like Pinky the Fish or something like that. And the first page of, you know, I managed to figure out that you're supposed to dedicate your book to someone, and so the first page is dedicated to my fish who died. Okay. I'd like to think I've, you know, gotten a little bit more nuanced in my dedications now. But yeah, I've definitely, you know, written forever. But Smoke and Rain was the first one I really, not the first one I finished, but the first book that I decided, like, I can actually do something with this. And
mm-hmm.
around college era, I decided, like, okay, no, I need to, like, really focus on this and, you know, pay attention to maybe some more creative writing classes or, you know, read more critically from a writer's standpoint and see what people are doing with
right.
language. So it was the first time it was really intentional and not just like, I'm going to tell a fun story.
Right, right.
Which is also nice, but...
Yeah, and then you were, obviously you're an archaeologist, so you weren't studying writing in school, but writing was just, it was a passion for you. Did you feel like you just had to write, or how did you balance
yeah.
between college and I'm going to be a writer?
Sometimes not very well, but I definitely, it was like my touchstone. And I bounced around through college, and actually through every level of schooling, I sort of split my time between more mainstream public education and, you know, more unique private education or just, you know, alternate education, which I think was really nice. And it gave me a good background for both the more creative aspects of writing, but also the more analytical side of it. And so I was studying biology. And I just wrote throughout my schooling, which, you know, that my homework might have suffered a little bit, the split focus there. But I'm also a person who likes to bite off way more than they can chew and just kind of go at 95% all the time, which
right.
know, writing works with that. Though mental health doesn't always. So.
Right, exactly. Yes, I'm an overscheduler myself, too.
Yeah. I like to set a deadline and then be like, all right, let's see if we can make it.
Mm-hmm. And when you finished Smoke and Rain, did you, I think you indie published that one, didn't you?
Yeah, I indie published that one, and actually before I even published Smoke and Rain, originally the series was actually just two books, and then I split both in half. So I had written what's now the third and fourth books and finished it, like draft finished it, before I published Smoke and Rain. And now I've completely rewritten that. There's like two characters who have stayed the same pretty much. But I think part of what came out of that is I was able to really understand, like, okay, this is your point. This is what you're getting at. So that was really, really beneficial. And yeah, I didn't really want to deal with the gatekeepers, though I did try the traditional publishing querying, and I did get some bites and some requests, but it just wasn't for me.
Right. Are you just indie published?
My novels are all indie published. I've had several of my short fiction pieces published in some magazines and anthologies and things like that. But yeah, I just prefer the flexibility, especially because my job is like kind of either all or nothing. So my schedule doesn't work very well with with like normal schedule.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, I'm a hybrid author now, so I indie publish one series of my own, and then I have a publisher for the other, and I definitely love indie publishing. I just love the control you have, you know, and you can decide, hey, it's Valentine's Day, I'm going to have a sale, you know, so
yeah.
I really like the flexibility and the control that you get through indie publishing.
You can be a bit more creative with your marketing, too, because you don't have to necessarily justify something with like, oh, it's going to be a great, you know, return of investment. You can sort of be like, let's just try it. Let's see what happens. And that's really
right.
Fun, I think.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And it, when you, after you published Smoke and Rain, had you joined any writers groups? Like, are you in the SFWA or any of those organizations?
I'm not yet in that one. I'm part of several like Facebook author groups, which is about as organized as I get. I do take part in various conferences. so I was able to go to the Book Baby Independent Author Conference in Philly last year, and a couple different writers retreats and things like that. And again, with the
nice.
Flexibility, it's really nice to be able to kind of poke around at those and not be nailed down to, you know, certain appearances.
Right. And it's really nice to be able to connect with other writers because it's, you know, we write in this cave and make ourselves get through the middle of the book. And it's so nice to be with other people who share that same challenge of going, wow, I would rather do dishes than write this chapter, but okay. you know, it's good to have other people who understand that when I'm folding laundry,
fantastic.
I'm really thinking about my book.
I have a fantastic critique partner, and actually our processes are completely different, which is really nice in a lot of ways because, you know, when one of us is in the doldrums, the other one will be like, well, actually I'm working on this. And it's like, it can kind of shift our brains. I think we can bounce things off of each other and get a unique perspective that, you know, when we're just kind of entrenched in the procrastination or plot knot or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, it's really nice to have, you know, a support group of people who have the same addiction you do and can help you navigate. So are there any other genres that you're dying to write? Like I asked you before the show, I'm like, you're an archaeologist. Why don't you write historical? I mean, do you imagine an Indiana Jones book in you or anything like that?
Well, Travelers is actually pretty close to Indiana Jones in a lot of ways because it takes place on Earth. The character Nell, she's a total skeptic, and she thinks that, like, she hates sci-fi. So in those ways, she's not like me at all. but obviously, as a bunch of stuff is discovered at this site that she's in charge of, and things really start to go south, you get to see a little bit more of the Raiders of the Lost Ark, Nazi punching, Indiana Jones side. And
love it.
That's been really fun. But I would love to write like a steampunk type thing, like maybe like a steampunk pirate thing. I
Oh, yeah.
love nautical things. I love ships.
Mm-hmm.
Terrified of water, love ships. So I'd like to kind of delve into that a bit. And I
Yeah,
also
that'd be cool.
have some ideas for like a more magical fantasy, because Smoke and Rain and Reforged, there's definitely magic and gods and, you know, these sort of mystical things, but very few people can access those powers. So I think it'd be fun to write something where magic is a little bit more accessible and there's different kinds and different people can use it in different ways.
Right. So your characters could actually be magic workers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool. So never say never.
Yes. No.
When
But I definitely
that steampunk comes out, I want to know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, we're like 8 books out, but yeah. Always planning
There's always
projects that
so
are
many
like
books.
decades.
Yeah, so many
Yeah.
books and not enough time. So, I always ask because it's October and I like to find out what people enjoy. I always do an annual Halloween movie countdown on Facebook. But anyway, what are some of your favorite Halloween things to watch this time of year?
I love more like paranormal horror. I'm not a fan of like people just like slicing each other up for the fun of it. That's not my
Yeah, I'm
bag.
not into that either. No. Yeah, serial
But
killer thing, not my thing.
yeah, that's just, you know, like it can be fun, but no. I love like the alien films. You know, they're space horror, and
Right.
I loved The Witch, you know, which came out last year, 2 years ago. I don't know. It was probably way longer than that. And
Is
I just
that the
like the
one that's
slow.
yeah. Is that the one that with the little village where they something's out in the forest? Is that the witch? I'm trying
Yeah,
to think.
it's like a little homestead, and
Yes.
what I love about it is, you know, no spoilers or anything, but you're really not sure for a lot of the film what's actually going on, because, you know, there's the whole like prairie fever that happens with people who are isolated like that, and you really don't know if it's just his
Right.
like weird religious paranoia or if it's real.
Yes.
And I just really liked the atmosphere of that. And then one of my other like favorite ones, and this is like a really dividing movie. I feel like you either love it or you hate it. But I really enjoyed It Follows,
Oh, I haven't
which
seen
was
that one.
like, oh, I love it. It has, again, it's very atmospheric. And I actually discovered it through the person who did the soundtrack, whose name is Disasterpiece. And they did music for a video game that I love, and so I was sort of intrigued by It Follows. And it has the premise is basically a sexually transmitted monster that just slowly walks towards you. At any given time, it's approaching you, and you don't know where. And when it does get to you, it kills you, and then it goes back to the person who gave it to you, if they're not dead yet.
Oh my gosh.
And it's, you
Wow.
know, it. There's a little bit of gore, but it's definitely way more psychological, and I just love that one.
Nice. Yeah, one of my
Yeah.
favorites is The Others. Have you seen that one? It's older
Yes.
now,
Oh
but
God, that's so
it's
good.
so atmospheric and cool and just that misty weird house and yeah, I eat up, spooky horror like that. I really liked Crimson Peak too. That was
Oh yeah,
another
I
good one.
haven't started that, but I want to. So.
Yeah, Crimson Peak is well worth seeing because the house itself becomes one of the characters. It's really, really cool. Definitely perfect for this time of year.
Yeah. And if you've ever checked out Just Stella by Susan Paulwick, I believe. It's a horror short, and it's paranormal. And the protagonist is a werewolf, and she ages at the rate of a dog. So every year she ages
Oh my
seven.
gosh.
And it's so creepy because it's written in second person. So it's all, you know, you do this. This happens to you. It's really impressive, and it's definitely a creepy one.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I love reading short stories. I got my start publishing short stories first. I wrote horror first, and so I love sitting down and being able to get a whole complete story during lunch. I enjoy that very much.
Yeah, when you're so busy, it's really nice to be able to just, like, bite-sized.
Yeah, and I think it's sometimes sort of a, you know, forgotten art. I mean, you look at Shirley Jackson and Ray Bradbury and Poe, of course, and all that, and you're just like, wow, these are so good. But, you know, it's just different with publishing. Back then, they were publishing for magazines, and there really aren't that many magazines out there anymore, especially that publish fiction, so it's harder to get publishers to support short fiction, so it's a toughie, but
yeah.
I love when you find a really good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really fun, and I think it's a totally different, I mean, I love writing short fiction as well, though I sort of end up on the lengthy side, but it's a totally different way of reading and writing, and it really gets your brain going in a completely different path than you know, traditional sort of more longer novel length stuff.
Right. Definitely. And I think for anybody who's listening, who's an aspiring writer or just dabbling, I think short fiction really teaches you to make every word matter. It's an excellent thing to put in your toolkit as a writer, because when you write short fiction and there is a word count limit, you really have to go in there and, you know, find those verbs that are actually describing your character, not just what they're doing, you know, kind of thing. It's a good exercise.
Yeah, definitely.
So who are some of your favorite authors who, like, inspire you to write more books? Who do you like to read?
Well, I was originally really inspired by Tamara Pierce. That was the first, her book Alana was the first book where I actually saw myself on a cover, so to speak. And you know, I was one of those Scholastic book fairs, and I saw this tomboy redhead on the cover of this book, and she was holding a sword, and it said that she was disguising herself as a boy, and I'm like, oh my god, I didn't know there was a book about me. And there's a lot of fantasy,
cool.
You know, it's the farm boy, or what have you, or the women are princesses, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but that wasn't me. And so she really inspired me in the way that I knew I could write characters that I wanted to write, and not just what I thought people wanted to read. And then as far as style goes, I really like Patrick Rothfuss's lyrical style. And then J.A. Pitts wrote the Sarah Bohall series, and I have just adored those. Some great urban fantasy, Norse mythology in the Pacific Northwest.
Nice. I love playing with mythologies and making the mythology sort of be the fish out of water, putting them in an unexpected location. Those are really cool.
Yeah, it's... It's so much fun to kind of, like, tweak things that we've understood for a long time, but, you know, putting them in these new settings where they're kind of alien in their own right.
Right. And we're actually running out of time, but what's next for you? What are you working on? What are you working on now?
Well, I'm frantically trying to finish the final Reforged book, which is actually, I'm finally past the doldrum part, which is nice. I'm actually like,
yay, you're in the exciting
and,
home stretch.
Yeah, really exciting, kind of bittersweet. And then I'm working on the fourth book in the Nell Bentley books, which is Heretics, and that'll be out later this coming year, so in fall of 2020. And
nice.
That's also really fun. It's starting to get really, really dark before the dawn. And yeah, there's there's a total of 6 books in that series. So we're halfway there.
Nice. Well, thanks so much for being on today. And everyone, check out our website. Are you active on social media? Should they find you on Facebook?
Yeah, I have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/authorvsholmes, I believe. And I'm on Instagram, vs_Holmes, and Twitter as well, same handle. I'm the most candid on Twitter. And if you don't mind seeing pictures of dead things and bugs and my dog, that's where Instagram is. So.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for being on today.
Thanks for joining
us
on Book Life. Be sure to connect with us at www.readersentertainment.com for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.